the scripture readings from Matthew, the 11th chapter, 16th through 19th, and 5th to the 30th. To what will I compare this generation? It is like children sitting in the marketplace and calling to one another. We played the flute for you, and you did not dance. We wailed, and you did not mourn. For John came neither eating nor drinking, and they say, he has a demon. The Son of Man came eating and drinking, and they say, look, a glutton and a drunkard, a friend of tax collectors and sinners. Yet wisdom is vindicated by her deeds. At that time Jesus said, I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you have hidden these things from the wise and the intelligent and have revealed them to infants. Yes, Father, for such was your gracious will. All things have been handed over to me by my Father, and no one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son, and anyone to whom the Son chooses to reveal him. Come to me, all you that are weary and are carrying heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. May the Lord add the blessing to the reading of this word.
Good morning. Can you hear? You think this thing is on? Yeah? Yeah? You can hear me all right? Wow, I like you guys so much better than my congregation. Please don't. Keep it on the down low. They're always complaining that they can't hear me. I will tell them to come to your ear doctors. Well, I am the pastor at the United Church of Christ in town, and you know we share communion with one another, the disciples in the United Church of Christ. That means that our theology is very, very similar, and if you ever get tired of Matt, you can trade him for me, and vice versa. Yeah, right? Woo! Well, I am happy to be here today, and I am really excited for my congregation that they get to hear from Pastor Gordon this morning. It's a fun opportunity for us to have a little change of pace, for you to have a little change of pace. Plus, we can kind of say whatever we want and then just walk away, right? We don't have to deal with the fallout. I'm really hoping he's not saying anything too scandalous. Will you pray with me this morning before we begin the meditation? Holy, holy, holy God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight, our strength and our Redeemer. So I joke about saying something scandalous here or Matt saying something scandalous at my church, but in reality, the gospel, the entirety of the gospel, is a scandal. Matthew's gospel, like the other three, recounts a baby born in scandal, who goes on to live a life of scandal, who is executed as an enemy of the state, and who scandalizes even death with the outrageous action of resurrection, the ultimate rebellion against business as usual and the way the world operates. If I play with this, it's because I'm not used to it. It's falling off my ear. You'll forgive me, right? Matt does it all the time? Good. Keep feeding me what Matt does all the time. It shouldn't surprise us this morning, then, that this part of the gospel that the lectionary presents to us is also a bit outrageous. It contains clear direction about the life of discipleship that requires the Jesus follower to once again reject culture's way of life in order to find the life that truly is. back to the beginning passage of our lectionary text, whether you have your Bibles open or not. I'll read it for you again just so it's really fresh in our minds. But to what shall I compare this generation? It's like children sitting in the marketplace and calling to one another. We played the flute for you, but you didn't dance. We wailed, and you did not mourn. For John came neither eating nor drinking, and they say he has a demon. The Son of Man came eating and drinking, and they say, look, a glutton and a drunkard, a friend of tax collectors and sinners. The people are getting it all wrong. They're not dancing, even though the music is clearly a dance tune. And when it becomes the sound of mourning, they get it wrong again. They misidentify both John the Baptist and Jesus, the Messiah. I think there's a whole host of parallels to draw between this time period and generation of people in Matthew's gospel who are getting it wrong and today. But I find it's helpful to turn the text inward before we get too excited about applying it to other people or the state of the nation in general. So this morning, that's what I think we ought to do. I wonder if any of you know what it's like to fail to hear a song that is utterly clear. I wonder if any of you have ever forgotten the melody of your own song line. The theologian and civil rights leader Dr. Howard Thurman wrote compellingly of losing our song lines. He writes, there is something in every one of us that waits, listens for the genuine in yourself, and if you cannot hear it, you will never find whatever it is you have been searching for. And if you hear it and then do not follow it, it was better that you had never been born. You are the only you that has ever lived. Your idiom is the only idiom of its kind in all of existence. And if you cannot hear the sound of the genuine in you, you will all your life spend your days on the ends of strings that somebody else pulls. I have spent most of my life listening to every voice except the voice of the genuine within myself. Most of the time, I am convinced that a whole host of other voices are true. Voices of shame, voices of anxiety, of perfectionism. A few to my list. What are the voices you listen to? Are you a call and response kind of congregation or not? Got it. Not. Then I will just let you think in your minds about the voices that you choose to listen to and add to my list. When I was 35, my son Moses was born. Moses, Moses. All of the Mosai. There are apparently six of them in Corvallis. Is that ridiculous? Children, they're not, well, they're not all pastors' children. But Matt and I have discovered that there are all of these Moseses in this town. And we thought we were so unique. So when I was 35, Moses was born, and over the last 3 years, I have borne witness to this life and watched the tenacity of his spirit and just marveled. You remember this, right? At his courage and his confidence and his wholeness. He is exactly who he was meant to be without a lot of trying, right? And I wonder what happened to the little girl I must have been. Courageous and confident and whole. the one who just did not doubt who she was. Of course, I know what happened to her. The world happened. With its press toward living a life that sacrifices authenticity for productivity, that values efficiency, perfectionism, and a certain narrow definition of success. A world that rewards us for living on the margins of our souls. When was the last time, friends, you got quiet enough to hear your song line? But the size of your 401k, or your titles, or your awards. How long have you been living on the ends of strings that someone else pulls? This is precisely what Jesus asks you in the 11th chapter of Matthew. It is a countercultural question to ask. How is your soul? Not how are you? I know the answer to that. Busy, tired, stressed out. How is your soul? Being true to it. I require you to do so. Hearing and following the voice of the genuine is a risky business. It's the business that people like Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. and Rosa Parks, it's the business they were up to. But it is discipleship. It is what Jesus tells us to do. The second part of the lectionary that my friend, what's your name? Teresa read. Well, Teresa actually read the call to worship was the second half of the lectionary reading as translated by Eugene Peterson. I'm going to read it to you again. Are you tired, worn out, burned out on religion? Come to me. Get away with me and you'll recover your life. I'll show you how to take a real rest. Walk with me and work with me. Watch how I do it. The unforced rhythms of grace. I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting on you. Keep company with me, and you will learn to live freely and lightly. I wonder what resonates with you of that description of life with Christ. Is that how you would define your life with Christ? Life where the yoke is easy and the burden is light, which does not mean that life is ideal, or without hardship, right? You can't get away with that. It means that living the life Christ calls you to summons your best self. Of the genuine. Freedom from soul-sick labor, work to which you are ill-suited, or work that is compulsory and motivated by fear, fear of the mortgage, of your retirement fund, people think of you, keeping up with the Joneses. What are you laboring under that you need to be freed of? List comes to my mind. Are you laboring under shame, anxiety, perfectionism, someone else's definition of success? Doubt? Jesus invites you home to self, to your own inner teacher, which is exactly where the Holy One resides. Invitation is to hear yourself, your song line, your soul speak again. And maybe it's been an awfully long time since you heard it. The person you were before the world told you who you should be. Says, keep company with me and you will learn to live in freedom. And I think keeping company with Jesus, that's one of the enigmatic things that the text has a lot of, which simply means it's very hard to figure out what the heck this means. But I like how Simone Weil describes keeping company with Jesus. Absolutely unmixed attention. She also calls that prayer. The way my three-year-old focuses so intensely on his Lego creation, his latest endeavor to scale the backyard fence, which is indeed falling down, with a broken arm, or his focus on finding every single earthworm that might possibly be in our garden beds. The attention is the sacred quality. Focused presence is prayer. So maybe the first step with keeping company with Jesus is just to notice. Attention. Not necessarily in church, although it's a good place to do that. But also just to the world around you. Maybe notice what you spend your time doing that makes your soul sick. I know you know exactly what it is that I'm talking about. Because when I sit with people of all ages, from teenagers to folks in their 90s, people tell me the story of how their soul is sick, how they can't hear themselves anymore. Notice how often you hear the voice of the genuine in your life. If, like me, you don't hear it often enough, you'll know you need to make some changes. Jesus calls you to that thing which summons your best self. It's not where you are. If that's not the work you're doing, not the life you're living, this invitation is for you. The answer, my friends, is not to work harder at what you're already doing. How has that turned out for you? The answer is to rest in yourself, to hear the voice of the Holy that has always been there and is still there. Maria Rilke wrote that God is the great homesickness we can never shake off. Maybe it's time for you to come home. So.